Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Rick Gregg, Mr. Voice, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 381 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, but you know that. And with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean, but you know that. And also Chris Eliopoulos, but you know that. And we are continuing our discussion of the 2016 Run Disney Tinkerbell Race Weekend out in California with our experts out there, Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman. And I have to give props to them both, because when we bring them back for the reviews every year, they're always adding value to the review. And it's not a repeat of what they had done previous year, whatever. They're always bringing and observing new things that I hope help everyone out there who is thinking about whether or not you should do the Tink or whatever race that they're reviewing. So just want to give a shout out to Lee and Laura, because without them, we would not have such a great way of telling all of you out there what it's like to run out in California Adventure and Disneyland, and hopefully help you make your decision as to whether or not that's for you. Anyway, that's something I wanted to say to everybody. So without further ado, let's get back to our discussion with Lee and Laura regarding this year's Tinkerbell Race Weekend out in California Adventure and Disneyland. Sounds like we've covered the 5K.
Yeah.
We previewed some other stuff, too.
All right. So we have not, we won't touch upon the 10K because there was nobody on this podcast who has done it.
Well, unless they heard stuff, which I'm sure they always have their ears
to the ground. Yeah, what have you guys, what did you hear about the 10K?
Well, the characters were the usual, the Pixies for the most part. Mm-hmm. So that was about kind of what we expected. So there were different characters for the 10K and the half than there was for the for the 5K.
And the 10K course ran through more of Disneyland than the 5K course did. Just it looked a lot, I think, like the marathon course the next day.
Yeah. Another thing that was different about Tink this year, In the past, the races have started and ended down towards the Paradise Pier Hotel. The mm-hmm. start and finish area has actually been south of the Paradise Pier Hotel. Mm-hmm. And this year, it was over in the traditional spot north of the Disneyland Hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't where it was for the dark side? I mean, for the light, was it the light side?
We're the light side on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You guys, dark side.
So I like the way that the corrals were set up for the light side, but you're saying it wasn't set up that way.
Well, it was set up that way in that, light side started north or south. the corrals are all out on Disneyland Drive. It's just a matter of, do they start facing north because the race starts going north, or do you start facing south because the race is south?
Okay.
Tinkerbell starts going north, and Avengers starts going north. I can't remember which, if it's Avengers
right.
or Lightside that starts going north. But, so that was, the corrals were still in the same place, but the finish area for Tink was different than it has been before because it wasn't over by the Paradise Pier. It was over by the Disneyland Hotel.
Right. Okay. All right, let's go on to the half marathon. Give us a little preview of how it was before the race and getting into the corrals and what kind of crowd it was and all that jazz.
Well, so again, logistically simple. We went down, I guess because we were meeting somebody, about 45 minutes ahead of the start time.
We met her at 4:30. Race started at 5:30.
Okay, so we were there an hour ahead. But, I mean, easy walk. Very nice thing. They do open any restaurant in downtown Disney that serves coffee opened at 4.
Oh, yeah.
Both for the runners that are walking through and for the spectators that are out there. And so that's convenient. Certainly not, it was more crowded in the pre-race area, but not that crowded. And we were able to find bathrooms with pretty short lines and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, they'd started sending everybody to the corrals about 4:45. So,
which is kind of unusual. A lot of times they don't even bother to start to send them in our races until 5-ish, just because there is no 20-minute walk to the corrals.
Though there was a 10-15-minute walk, because to get to the corrals, you had to go all the way down to the Paradise Pier, and you entered via the driveway that's between the Paradise Pier and the Grand Californian's parking lot, which is over on the other side of the street. So that was different. That was about a 5 or 10 minute walk from the pre-race area.
Oh, 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, I know.
I know. But it was
unusual
for Tink.
Oh, boy.
But it's a nice little warm-up. So the corral situation was what you would normally expect. We got into the corrals. We were in Corral B, and they had the monitors up so we could see what was going on the stage. So you had Chris and Andrea out there. They had Minnie and Daisy come out right before the race started. And no fireworks, though, at the start. No fireworks, no fire pots. Yeah, so that was unusual because I had pictures from last year, and we actually had some fireworks last year.
So you don't think that's the good neighbor policy? You know,
I think it is the good neighbor policy.
Well, okay. But we've had fireworks before.
Right. Maybe
so
somebody complained.
Not really sure why we didn't have them this year. But race went off on time, and the course wasn't too crowded because we're on Disneyland Drive, so we have two full lanes to run in for that first mile plus as we go around. So it's easy. The thing that I heard people complaining about, we have to go over two overpasses, and people were grumbling about going uphill.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh my. Wow. So again, the same two race announcers. Do we know where this Andrea comes from? Okay.
Neverland,
Oh, sorry. Andrea from Neverland.
Yeah, she was the one who substituted for Carissa at Tink last year.
Oh, when she was having a baby. Okay.
Right, and that's the only time I'd seen her before.
All right.
And Carissa did, you know, that because now that they've moved Tink and it's on Mother's Day weekend, so Carissa did call out to all the mothers and everything and say now that she's been a mother for a year and stuff, you know. And so there was moving and touching, you know, motherly things going on before we actually launched it.
Were you really touched, Lee? It's not sounding to me like you were.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So was Laura, who's not a mother.
She was touched, too. Oh, boy. All right. So, the course.
So we wandered around it. I'm looking at the course map, and I'm going to call it a mile and a half before we actually went back into Disneyland. We got to see much more of Disneyland than we did for the 5K, because we actually went through Tomorrowland and through the castle and even over into Orleans Square, about as far as you can go, actually, right now. You know, and then back over, well, over may be a relative term because we probably actually went under at that point or something, but into California Adventure and around California Adventure, and somewhere 4.5 miles maybe left the park, 5 miles.
Well, we ended up winding backstage at California Adventure quite a bit. And this was the part of the course that I found annoying. Mm-hmm. So the course behind Radiator Springs Racers and Paradise Pier, we did that twice.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, we did it between about mile 4 3/4 and 5 1/4. And then we did it again between mile 12 and 12.5.
Now, the good news, it's a road, because that's actually, if you come in the main gate and they're bringing you over to the parking garage or something, they actually use that road as a cutoff. So it's convenient to run on, but it's certainly not at all scenic.
So it's far enough a part in the course that people who are on, you know, at the end of the pack, you're not going to run into those people.
Well, you will. And there are places so where people who are early in the race, the fast runners, would have probably been going the opposite direction. But they had cones in the center
of
the course. So it was separated to where people weren't going to run into each other.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and we did have more characters for this one. It was the Pixies. So I think the first one we saw was in Disneyland, Tinkerbell and Captain Hook. And that line...
It was Tink and Iridesa.
Oh, you're right. It was Tink and Iridesa. Sorry.
That's what you said in your blog.
Yes. It was Tink and Iridesa.
He reads your blog.
And he apparently remembers the character more than I do. So they had a long line. We didn't stop. We saw Rosetta, and we saw Vidia, and
I know those are Chris's favorite characters.
Yeah.
So. I was going to say, was Curly or Moe on there?
No.
Shemp?
There were two in Disneyland, and then there were two in California Adventure. The third character set in California Adventure, though, actually wasn't Pixies. It was Goofy and Chip and Dale, who were at Silly Symphony Swings. So it was kind of fun to see them. And they've been out before during the Tinkerbell Half Marathon, but we'd never stopped because the line had always been really long. And this was the longest line we waited in. We probably waited a couple of minutes. So it wasn't bad, but it was still a little bit long. And people were stopping for them because they weren't the Pixies.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So
I personally love the Pixies.
It sounds like it because you know all their names. I know I don't.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
cute.
Well,
all right. Don't get defensive.
So were there a lot of people in costume aside from the people like you with wings? You were wearing wings the other day.
Yeah, I actually didn't wear a costume for this race. Lee wore his wings.
Okay.
But I did not wear a costume. I wore my Tinkerbell half marathon shirt from last year. And
well, Lee's an honorary Pixie, so that's understandable.
Well, yeah, and I actually was. I was a Sparrow Man for the 5K. I was Terrence, bringer of Pixie dust. So we were in full costume for the 5K, and abbreviated because you wore your purple cape or whatever, didn't you? No,
nope.
You didn't. Okay, fine. Then I apparently was the only one in the spirit with my oversized Pixie wings. So joy.
There were people in costume. I did not think there was many people in costume this year, and the people who were in costume, it wasn't the overriding pixie wings and tutus like we had seen in the past. It was more of a mix. I saw people dressed as Disney characters. I saw somebody dressed as Tigger. The one I saw that I really thought was very clever was a man and woman running together, and he was dressed as Peter Pan, and she was dressed all in black as Peter Pan's shadow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I thought
I'm amazed that you could even figure that out. That's cool.
She was a ninja. What are you talking about?
and Chris, just to make you happy, there were Star Wars, either straight Star Wars characters or Star Wars crossover characters.
Like Tinkerbell, Leia, or something like that?
Yeah, that sort of. I mean, there were, every race I've been in lately, we're starting to mishmash or match up or whatever.
Mash up.
Princesses with Star Wars with. So you see a lot of people where you're kind of like, huh.
Any Avengers?
That makes me think.
I did not see any Avengers for this one, so I don't think
like
they...
No Black Widow with wings or something like that?
No.
And no Star Trek characters.
And there were definitely Spock, no Star...
No Tribbles.
You laugh. There was at least one Star Trek character in the Dark Side marathon, but that's a whole thing.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, boy.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to ask, because I've only done the straight-on Disneyland half marathon, and you go through the town, obviously. I assume you've done both. Do they have as much going on out in the real world away from the parks as they do in the regular Disneyland half marathon?
Well, the first part of this course, once you leave the park area, now, again, this one thing we like about this course, you don't get totally off Disney property until you're about mile 6.
Yep.
So, which is really nice. Now, again, because of construction, the course was different this time. And usually we come through downtown Disney and head out towards the Mickey and Friends parking garage and then hit the neighborhood. This year we ran around behind California Adventure, ran through the Paradise Pier lot into a backstage area behind the Paradise Pier area, which really was not very attractive. So we missed the whole through the parks. But then we got out to the neighborhood, and you're in a residential neighborhood, so they want you to be quiet for I don't know, about half a mile, three quarters of a mile, because you are running through a residential area.
I'd be ringing bells like crazy.
No going woo, air woo, horn.
Yeah, so no bands.
It's right. So Chris, there's now 4 races on the West Coast.
Right.
And effectively they go 4 different directions out of the park. So
really?
Tinkerbell is the one that goes north. And it goes into old Anaheim, which actually has been renewed and is new Anaheim. I think this is my favorite of the 4 courses, just in terms of the actual roads that it runs on and where it runs. It doesn't have the cosplayers like you have for Avengers or Star Wars. It doesn't have all the cars like you do for the normal marathon weekend. It didn't. It had a decent number of cheerleaders. I think it only had a couple bands.
Yeah.
But it has something that none of the other races have. And what is that, dear?
Tequila.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
The Red Hat Ladies.
Oh, the Red Hat Ladies. Yes. Yes.
What That's are the Red true. Hat Ladies?
The Red Hat Society, the ladies who, let's see, what is it? When I'm an old woman, I will
do something and wear red.
Wear red and a purple hat. I will wear a purple and a red hat. So there's a famous poem about that. So there's a whole Red Hat Society with ladies over 50 who can join. And for the Tinkerbell races, they've always had them come out and cheer for us. In years past, they've been over by the Disneyland Hotel after we went through downtown Disney, but we didn't do that this year. So instead, they had them in the downtown Anaheim area that Lee was talking about, which I thought was actually a much better spot for them, because that was about mile 8. And so at that point, you're getting a little bit tired and you really can use a boost. And so they had, I don't know, 400 of them. I'm not sure.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, I stopped and walked, and I took video of them, and it was almost 2 minutes of video as I walked past them.
Let me get this straight. There's 200 or 450 plus year old women in red hats and nothing else. That's amazing that they were able to do that in Anaheim. That's amazing.
Chris is signing up.
Now I'm running next year.
Oh my goodness.
No. They're no? not only oh. wearing hats.
No, they were just wearing red.
Dreams dashed.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
But they're crazy because they'll be literally like old ladies in wheelchairs, and they'll be peppy 50-year-olds, you know, out there giving you high fives
like that.
And
Come
waving
on.
Signs.
Whoa,
at
whoa,
you.
Whoa, whoa. Careful, fella.
They're always a highlight of this race, especially with it being Mother's Day and everything, that they give up several hours of their morning to come out there. And they just seem to be having at least as much fun as the runners do. They yell and scream and clap and wave and have signs and look like they're having really a great time. So that's a highlight. And I agree with Laura. It's awesome. It's both nice because there's more room for them to spread out in this downtown area. And it's a much nicer pick me up. That probably got me through mile 9.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So the once we get past the downtown Anaheim area, it kind of goes into some of the similar area that you run in the Disneyland half, kind of that industrial office building type of area. So it's not really very interesting. And there wasn't, I don't remember there being much entertainment out there at all.
Like I said, there was certainly the fewest bands I think I've ever seen, and cheerleaders and nothing. There was a dance group heading into downtown Anaheim still. But anyway, yeah, there was the second half of the race was pretty sparse for entertainment on course.
Yep.
And were the Galloways there for this one?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I ran with them for a while through downtown Disney.
Cool. Well, it is my intention to sign up for this one next year because this is, I think, the only one I haven't done.
Yeah. No, you haven't done Star Wars The Lights.
Oh, I haven't done Star Wars The Lights.
Which is my favorite course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's my favorite race weekend.
But, the because side. Star Wars, duh.
Yeah.
Get to see Spock and Jim and Bones.
Wait a minute.
That's another podcast. That's another podcast.
Stop. Well, I think I'm going to do it next year.
So we'll beam you. Never mind.
Lucky for me, I don't have to wait till next year to see Lee and Laura because I'll see them next week at Disneyland.
Yay!
What?
They're driving up from San Diego to hang out with me because I'm at an air quotes conference. An air quote.
You mean this week, don't you?
It's next weekend. Yeah.
Oh, next weekend.
Maybe we can do another podcast about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Maybe I'll just record with them while we're there.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
In the Park podcast.
Yes. Sounds good.
And with that, we'll say thank you once again to Lee and Laura. But before we go, we want to mention that don't forget to go see Laura's blog at allears.net. She has the Salute to All Things Disney, but mostly Disneyland blog. And we love to read it. And you can read all about the Tink Half Marathon. And
you only get it for 3 minutes, though.
Yeah.
Part one, part two, how many parts is it?
Actually, it's one part, and her latest blog, I believe, talks about the new attractions and shows. So if you are going out to Disneyland...
I am!
So Michelle, you will definitely go to allears.net and look for Laura's blog.
I'm so lucky I get to go with Lee and Laura!
All the things that are going on, like things going on with the Jungle Cruise and a few other things. So anyways, we want you to make sure that you visit Laura because she is the expert when it comes to Disneyland.
And the guy who hangs out with her.
And the guy
too.
Who hangs out with her, who has had a little bit of experience in Disneyland himself.
But that's, he used to work there.
That's right. And that's going to be another podcast someday.
With Steve Martin.
That's right. Playing banjo.
We were regularly confused for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve was the he worked in the magic shop, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And anyways, we want to thank Lee and Laura for their review. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have fun with Michelle this coming weekend.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. They're going to take me through our paces. Yeah.
Mike and I are going to watch a Star Trek marathon.
That's right. That's right. Chris and I may be talking to the ghost of Walt Disney. Who knows?
Sweet.
Right, Chris? We might be doing that.
Or
so,
maybe I'll call in. Maybe.
Who are you again? We don't know who you are. You go to Disneyland. Enjoy yourself.
All right.
So for Lee Zimmerman, for Laura Gilbreth, for Chris Heliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.